The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it has seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts and bring us out of the tombs where we too often hide our greatest fears and secrets. Help us to be ready for you to bring us out of darkness and into a great light, that we might see you more clearly. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our minds and break open the chains that keep us from the infinite compassion that is available to us through Jesus Christ. Help us to be ready to hear the good news of the reconciling, healing grace from God, that we might love you more dearly. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our souls and set us free from the shackles that we attach to ourselves, shackles that we think keep us safe, shackles that actually only keep us locked away from you. Help us to be ready to hear your command that will shatter those shackles so that we might follow you more nearly. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Today we are told of a city, and that there is a man of the city. The story continues. We are told that this man is possessed by demons. Demons with an S. Demons in the plural. So many demons, in fact, that they call themselves legion. This man of the city did not actually live in the city. He was considered unclean due to his demons, and as a result, he's kept in chains, bound and in shackles. Although at times he apparently was so overtaken by the demons that he could break loose from his bonds and then a run around the countryside. And Luke tells us that he does that when he's naked. I don't know why we needed to know that, but Luke told us that he was also naked when he did that. Now, like all demons in the New Testament, they recognize Jesus immediately. And as soon as Jesus stepped out of the boat and onto dry land, the demons cry, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" That is a clear Christological acknowledgement of just who it is standing in front of these demons. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." The demons begged Jesus to not send them back into the abyss. And so Jesus, being a friendly and accommodating type, he does not send them into the abyss. Instead, he sends them into a nearby herd of pigs. Now, we know we're not in Palestine because there would be no herd of pigs in Palestine. We're in the land of the Gennesarenes on the other side of the Galilee, kind of on the northwest coast, I guess. So as Jesus sends this legion of demons into the pigs, and it seems that even these swine wanted nothing to do with the demons because they promptly stampede down the pasture, jump into a lake, and kill themselves by drowning. All in all, so far, we have a pretty standard story about the healing of a demon-possessed person. The Gospels are full of these stories. I don't know how many there are. There's certainly more than a dozen. Some are in all four Gospels. Some are in three. Some are in two. Some are only in one. Jesus comes upon a person possessed. The demons immediately know who Jesus is. Jesus casts out the demons, and the person is made whole. A pretty regular, it's kind of hard to say that about a demon-possessed person, but a pretty regular story about Jesus encountering a demon. Until the people in the village come out to see what happened. And that's where Luke displays his genius in telling of stories. The townspeople found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a great thing. Unbelievable. Clothed and at his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then the three words that are the linchpin of this whole story that Luke gives us. The city, the people, they were afraid. They weren't happy. Their neighbor and friend was now healed. They weren't stunned that he was no longer demon-possessed. They weren't joyous that he could move back into his home. They weren't amazed that he was sitting at the foot of the man who healed him, clothed and in his right mind. No, Luke tells us, the people in the city were afraid. So I think they were afraid because the balance or equilibrium of the village system rested upon the city's need for the demoniac to be the scapegoat, for the demoniac to be the holder of all the fears, all the secrets, all the emotional sickness of the village. Because as Luke sets up the story, that's the only place I can end up. We've been told that he's a man of the city, yet he did not live in a house. He lives out in the tombs. We've been told that he usually lives bound in chains and shackles under guard. So who paid for the chains? Who held him down while the shackles were hammered into place between his ankles and his knees? Who held him down during that? Who had the hammer in their hand? Who were the people that stood on guard? Who paid for the guards? This man of the city was exactly where the city wanted him to be. He was exactly where they needed him to be, I think. Because as long as he was denied the right to live in his own home, as long as he was relegated to the tombs, as long as he was bound and kept shackled in chains, then the city believed they were safe. But it wasn't really an issue about being safe from the man possessed by a legion of demons, because at least we aren't told that he was dangerous. We aren't told that he stole things when he was loose. We aren't told that he ravaged the women folk when he was loose. In fact, we're told that on those few occasions when he could break loose from his chains and shackles, he went into the countryside. Not into the city to cause trouble. He went into the countryside. So it seems to me that the city wanted and needed this fellow to be bound and chained up, because their entire system of denial depended upon it. And I think we know this because when they saw the man miraculously sitting at the feet of Jesus, unaccountably clothed, the first time in years in his right mind, they were afraid. They weren't happy. They didn't feel blessed. Their friend could move back into his own home. None of that. They were afraid. Luke goes on to say that they were stricken with great fear. We aren't told that they were angry because of the dead pigs. They didn't ask Jesus to provide recompense for the loss of their investment in the swine herd. We aren't told anything about the herdsmen going on strike or initiating a labor action demanding their lost wages because there's no more pigs to take care of. None of that. We're told that when they saw the man clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. So afraid, they asked Jesus to leave because they were struck with, Luke says, great fear. Their entire way of life had been upended. The demoniac, who I interpret as being the holder of the village's pain and hurt, their secrets and their sickness, was now in his right mind. And they wanted nothing to do with that. And they especially wanted nothing to do with this Jesus person who had caused all this trouble. I think, as is true, surely this is true about all of Scripture, this story of the city, this story of its people, this story of the demoniac, and hopefully this story about Jesus, just might resonate with some part of our lives today. As I encounter this story, the shackled man represents where the city and its people held tightly to their greatest fears and their deepest secrets. Each of us, I think, surely have our own fears. Some of us, I think, surely have our own secrets. I've been afraid in my life. I've had secrets that I wanted nothing more than for those fears to be locked up and out of sight, and those secrets to be kept as far away as possible from the light of day. Just as surely as the city and its people had hammered together the chains and the shackles that bound that man most of the time in the tombs outside the city walls, so too have I kept my fears and secrets out of sight and out of mind. After more than a decade of chains and shackles and too much time spent wandering in the wilderness, I have to admit, I was finally honest about the demon of alcoholism that I lived with, and soon I found myself clothed and in my right mind. Each of us surely have our own fears. Most of us probably have secrets. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The people of the village
were right to be afraid. The demoniac that had met Jesus and been made whole. And those of us who have a history of holding secrets and who live in fear, who construct our own chains and our own shackles, all too often we are mostly afraid. We are afraid of being made whole, of being healed, because we've been afraid so long. We've been afraid so long that we don't believe we'll know how to live any other way. And I suspect that's part of what the people in the city were afraid of. So I bid your prayers today that you at Calvary be a people who are not afraid. I bid your prayers that Calvary can be a place where the chains and the shackles that bind and entomb the children of God are shattered and broken apart. And I bid your prayers today that at the last day, each of us may find ourselves clothed in our right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into our hearts and bring us out of the tombs where too often we hide our greatest fears and secrets. Help us to be ready for you to bring us out of darkness and into a great light, that we might see you more clearly. Please say together, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our minds and break apart the chains that keep us from the infinite compassion that is available to us through Christ Jesus. Help us to be ready to hear the good news of the reconciling, healing grace from God, that we might love you more dearly. Together, please say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our souls and set us free from the shackles that we attach to ourselves, shackles that we think keep us safe, shackles that actually only keep us locked away from you. Help us to be ready to hear your command that will shatter those shackles so that we might follow you more nearly. Come, Holy Spirit.